The LinkedIn Podcast Network is sponsored by AT&T Business. Rain Wilson's business advice? Find a network that has your back. That's why he launched a talking pillow powered by AT&T Business's reliability. Take your business to the next level at business.att.com.
LinkedIn presents.
It may not be easy, but more is now required of our leaders. They must be highly effective managers with exceptional core business skills. But they also must be leaders who bring their heart front and center into their leadership. They must be generous.
Hi, this is the Next Big Idea Daily. I'm your host, Michael Kovnat, and it's Monday. Do you want to be a better leader? Well, maybe you should concentrate on being a better person. While the popular image of a leader is of a single-minded individual, a vision and action, real leadership also includes healthy doses of collaboration, vulnerability, and generosity. Joe Davis spells out this approach in the new book, The Generous Leader: 7 Ways to Give of Yourself for Everyone's Gain. Joe is a managing director and senior partner at the Boston Consulting Group, and he joins us now to share some of his big ideas.
What is a generous leader? It is one who gives freely of themselves without expectation of direct personal benefit to help others develop, grow, and thrive at their full potential. I believe the days of command and control leaders are over. 2 reasons. First, today our work and life worlds have become very intermingled, leading to different expectations in the work environment. And second, these are disconcerting times on many fronts. People are uncertain. They are looking to their leaders to be there for them, to lead the organization with purpose, to lead with exemplary values. The work-life blur has been driven by much, but we cannot ignore the impact of technology and then the pandemic. From the BlackBerry in 1999, the first time you were always on, to the personal computer, to your cell phone, to Zoom, work is with you 24/7 if you let it be. And with the work-from-home pandemic, our home life and our work life literally became one for so many. On top of this, we live in disconcerting times. There have been many tough moments over the last 50 years or so, but one can argue we have not seen so many at roughly the same time. Coming out of COVID, what is hybrid work really? More seriously, regardless of which side you might tip on the issues, January 6th, in the United States, the Russian invasion of Ukraine, the Hamas-Israel conflict, and the impacts on the Jewish people and the Palestinian people. Climate change, the drive for social equality in our diverse country, intense U.S. election rhetoric, and what do those who are speaking really mean? What is their intention? These events are all intensified by social media. This news is in your face nearly every moment, coming to you immediately if you happen to glance down at your phone. So with the changing workforce, the changing work-life connections, and the stress and anxiety of these times, all amplified by technology, the time for the heart to play a bigger role in any leader's leadership is now. Yes, tough times require a tough leader, but the definition of a tough leader is changing. One might ask, do these tough times that you've noted require a tough leader? As the saying goes, is it really time for a generous leader? I can agree, but only when we change the definition of tough. My belief, what I think employees, especially the most talented, are demanding, is that leaders consider and are there for all stakeholders. Of course, the shareholders and the investors. More importantly, their customers or clients. Extremely importantly, their people, their employees, and the community at large. So sure, yes, be tough. But to be tough means to make decisions, do not be indecisive, to stand up for all stakeholders, to be empathetic. Kristin Peck, CEO of Zoetis, the pet pharmaceutical company, told Alan Murray, CEO of Fortune, millennials, who represent 50% of today's workforce, want to work for organizations where leadership shares their values. But she also notes they want leaders who are more empathetic, who really engage with them and communicate with them in a different way. And finally, be tough enough to be vulnerable and authentic. It builds trust, it frees others. Fran Katsoudis, Executive Vice President and Chief People, Policy, and Purpose Officer at Cisco, the technology company in Silicon Valley, told me a story. In her early days, a leader pulled her aside. He said, "You do not have enough killer instinct. Do not care as much. You will do well if you put some of that away." As she said, "I did not follow that advice. It is not authentic to me." It did not work out so well, by the way, for that leader. And she believes it will not work well for today's leaders. She will make tough decisions. She will engage in the intense issues. She will push to move fast. But as she said, "I will always strive to do so with respect and caring. It may not be easy. It may be a big ask, but more is now required of our leaders. They must be highly effective managers with exceptional core business skills, but they also must be leaders who bring their heart front and center into their leadership. They must be generous. They must live the 7 key traits of a generous leader: connect personally and deeply, be a generous listener, listen to learn, welcome everyone, generous inclusion, become a generous ally. Do not be a button wearer or a performative ally, rather be an action ally. Generous development, learn others' strengths and their opportunities for development, and do not give mush feedback. Make generous moments. Look for opportunities to do small acts that will have big impact. And while overused, be authentic and be vulnerable. Give up the mask." Generous listening is critical. By this, I mean really hearing another, working to understand where they are coming from, why they think what they think based on their lived experience, and striving to learn in that what you do not know. The best know they do not know it all, and lurking out there is more and better information. Each CEO I interviewed in my book stressed that they like to ask questions. As Tom Monahan, currently CEO of Heidrick & Struggles, an executive search firm, put it, "The answer is rarely obvious when making big decisions. You do not know the entire picture. Thus, I always like to ask a lot of questions." Google did a study called Project Oxygen. They interviewed 80,000 managers. And what was common amongst the best? They were a good coach. And how did they become a good coach? They engaged and empowered employees. And the way to do this? By asking and listening. When you do this, it of course shows respect. It tells the person you see them as a person, as a human, not a cog in the organization's wheel. It also helps you to more effectively solve challenges to move your organization forward most productively. Scott Kirby, the CEO of United Airlines, told me a great story of asking questions and then making atypical decisions. Scott interviews every person who's heading into the vice president role. One day he was interviewing 3 new VP in operations. Those are the folks overseeing the mechanics, technicians, as they're called at United. He asked all 3, "What is the number one thing that technicians need at the airport?" The response was the same from each: they need more spare parts on hand. And if you think about it, those neon-clad technicians come on your plane when it has a problem. We're all staring at them, wondering how fast they can fix it. Imagine how they feel if no parts. Scott told me he took that information and chose to buck the conventional spreadsheet math and put more parts in the field. He was quite sure the morale boost to this critical team at United would outweigh the price of a bit more working capital tied up at an airport. A great story of listening to learn and taking action. Let me share a few simple techniques to get going. First, over-prepare for meetings. Who is coming? What history or background are they bringing to the meeting? How should I engage to learn their best insights? Another, ask questions. Engage the skeptics. Uncover the no's. Rarely is a no-ologist a blocker. Typically, they know something you do not know about why an idea will not work. You want and need that information. And it's even more rewarding when they have ideas to solve the roadblock. So be a generous listener. Ask questions. It shows respect. And there is so much more you can learn. Connecting personally and deeply is expected, almost demanded. As Kristen Peckett said, employees expect you to connect and communicate in new ways. Study after study have reinforced the benefits of connected leader. People prefer to work for a connected leader 5 times to 1. People who felt greater connection to the leader during the pandemic had greater life satisfaction, stronger resilience, and better mental health. People who felt connected to the leader during the pandemic delivered 5% higher productivity versus a real slip in those who did not feel connected. Joaquin Duato, chairman and CEO of Johnson & Johnson, J&J, told me several techniques he uses. One was called group testing. If he's going to speak to a large group of J&Jers, he will gather together a small group of employees to test his talk. He will do the talk and ask the listeners what they heard. He writes down the words they heard him say, which are not always the ones he used, and he switches to those words that connected most with the listener. He will also ask someone to tell him what he said if they were to go home and tell their family at night, what did Joaquin say today? He then incorporates those insights into his talk. Let me suggest some techniques that you might try to be more connected. I will first say you must remember to see the person, not the role. Your people are humans, and they want to know that you know that. Create your own sounding board, as Joaquin does. Trim the word count in your messaging. University of Maryland reported that we focus for 26 seconds on something we're reading or hearing. That's not long. Adam Grant noted we consume 2.3 million words and numbers over a three-month period. That is a lot. Harness technology. Be aware of the tools your teams use and use them. Apply the once, twice, three times rule. The first time you make a point, the listener hears the words, but are not engaging in what you're saying as they're trying to sort out where is this going. The second time their mind has wandered, they do not even hear you. The third time they engage. So remember, people want to hear you. They want you to connect. They want to know that you know they are human, and they want to see that you are human also. People are expecting their leaders to take off the mask, to be vulnerable and authentic, to be honest. When you demonstrate vulnerability, when you are honest, you free others. You free people to expose their roadblocks, their fears. They feel more empowered. Performance of all improves. A good friend and colleague told me of a time he crossed his line into a more vulnerable place. Saying, "I do not know," was not his thing. He reported that if he was leading a team meeting and he could see everyone was stuck and they were about to turn to him for help, and for help that he may not have had, he would leave the room before having to say, "I do not know." The time came when he thought, "What the heck? Enough is enough. Just let it go." When they turned to him for help, he said, "I do not know either." "Wow," he reported. "It was like a gust of fresh air burst through the room. The energy suddenly went up. The team said, okay, none of us know, so let's get creative and sort it out." It's hard to show vulnerability, but let me suggest a few techniques. One, release your own fears. Think back to a time when you showed vulnerability or deep honesty. How did it feel? Hard? Did you make it through? You must have. You're here now. You can do it again. Another idea, watch others. Christina Sistrunk, former CEO of Eris Energy, told me she likes to carefully observe other leaders when she sees them sharing a moment of honesty and vulnerability. How did they handle it? What did they say? How did others react? How might it fit for her? And then experiment. Take a small chance. Share a bit about yourself to your teammates. Share more than you might have done in the past. And try "I do not know." It is quite simple, but it's freeing. And if you actually don't know, it is in fact a better answer. But do let me say, do not step way over your line all at once. It is okay to tiptoe in. Bringing more of the authentic you into your work life is now an essential element of exceptional leadership. You have little choice. Others expect it. You free others to bring their full self with all their great capabilities, and you drive to better outcomes. So in closing, people in the workforce today are expecting a generous leader. More importantly, when you live the traits of a generous leader with true care and integrity, you will send a ripple of positive change across our society.
Thank you, Joe. All right, everyone, that's it for today. Come on back tomorrow when we'll hear from an Olympic speed skater who attributes his success in athletics and business to the philosophy of Stoicism. And he's going to share some of those ideas with us. I'm Michael Kovnat. We'll see you tomorrow.